Hello, listeners, and before we get started with the show, just wanted to go over a few announcements. Our first sponsor and announcement on this podcast is ripapparel.com. If you go to ripapparel.com, you can find a whole sort of Ultimate Nerd shirts from video games, animes, movies, comic books, all different types for affordable prices, and all done by individual artists as well. So check them out. Use the promo code Ultimate Nerd. Get 10% off anything you buy on that site. Thank you. And next, we have our Patreon. Yes, Ultimate Nerd Podcast has a Patreon. Please check it out, and if you like what we are doing, for just $1 a month, you can help support the podcast for us to build bigger, better things for the community. So go check out patreon.com/ultimate nerd, and you will find our Patreon and what we are doing on there. Thank you. And let's enjoy this episode.
Leg one, start.
Welcome back, one and all, to all the listeners out there. This is the Ultimate Nerd Podcast, and I'm your host today, Ryan Trainer. And on today's episode, I wanted to go over what we were doing in a previous episode, going through anime openings, and I kind of wanted to take that same thing and go over what I decided to call our jukebox episodes. So these are going to be kind of breaking down some favorite music tracks from video games, movies, anime, and just talking about them, since there's so much to talk about with music and, you know, movies and stuff like that and TV shows. I thought this would be a great one to talk about, and hopefully have many more discussions about this. I'll be the only guest on this, so I'm just going to go through a couple of my favorites that I picked out and go over a little bit about them. And yeah, we'll just be talking about them. So these will be the Ultimate Nerd Podcast Jukebox Picks for today. So before doing that too, I'll be discussing a little bit of the style of these tracks. And for this episode, the tracks are going to be all centered around video game openings. So I thought this was a little different, since anime openings are a little easy to cover since there's so many of them. Pretty much every anime always has one. Video games, a little different. Some more or less have instrumental openings. Some more are visual. So I tried to keep these a little bit more nostalgic and fun, and actually have, you know, maybe some lyrics and stuff, so you don't necessarily have to see it. And if you played the game, you would have been like, oh yeah, I probably would have picked that one too. So I chose these. Just there's plenty of other ones, but I picked some pretty heavy hitters, I would say. So I think you'll enjoy this episode. And again, I'm going to break down what the game is from, where the game is from, and kind of the style of what it was doing for the opening, and the music itself as well. So let's get started. This is Ultimate Nerd Podcast, the Jukebox Picks. First on the list, it is 1996, and the PlayStation 1 has been out for a good while now, and a interesting game emerges from the PlayStation era, and we get Soul Edge, which now what we would call Soul Calibur. And Soul Calibur has been going on for a number of years now. We're at Soul Calibur 6, but the thing to remember is that it was once called Soul Edge, or Soul Blade. There was two different names that I found out, but I remember it as Soul Edge, so that's what I'm going to be referring to it at this time. But it was obviously a 3D, still in the same vein as Soul Calibur. I mean, the games did not change too much on there, but a 3D fighter, you know, with weapons and parries and just super fast action, and I loved this game right from the start. And maybe not as much now since some of the changes, but again, Soul Edge and the first few Soul Calibers have been one of my favorite fighting games. And Soul Calibur 2, I think, is almost a perfect fighting game through me and some of my friends as well. But the one thing that always stood out that I would still listen to every once in a while was the opening theme song. That opening theme song is The Edge of the Soul. So again, this is, you know, a PlayStation game in the 90s. So when you would think of PlayStation, they always had a lot of over the top. If it wasn't too like anime or a Japanese anime kind of game, they would always have, you know, these 90 kind of corny songs. And Soul Edge definitely delivered with that, with the Edge of the Soul song. So I'll be playing this right now, which you'll be hearing, and you can definitely tell from it, it has that just same vein that fits into this world of Soul Edge, of these mighty warriors coming to fight for the, you know, Infinite Soul Blade and all that stuff. So I couldn't really find too much about this, is why I wanted to kind of get this one out of the way, but it is a song that should be listened to, and I kind of wish they kept going with this too, because later in the series with Soul Calibur and 2, 3, and, you know, continuing, they kind of stuck with just the whole instrumental theme and still had some really good openings and stuff like that, but got a little more serious. I thought if Project Soul would have kept going with this, with the other stuff of the games, it would have been fun to hear, especially now, you know, Soul Calibur 6 came out, what, last year, a year before? If they kept with a, you know, 90s aesthetic, kind of corny, along with the narrator, because the narrator's over the top too, and this is why I thought it fit so well, because you not only have this funny narrator saying all these things from the title screen, you have the song to fit it as well too, and it just makes you want to play the game even more. And I would never, you know, skip past this, and some of my friends that weren't as passionate about it with me would always just be like, oh god, we have to listen to this stupid song again. But Soul Edge is a great game, and definitely started a great franchise, and this song is a classic one at that. Continuing with the fighting franchise, fighting games, especially during the 90s and for the PlayStation as well, they had a lot of openings as well, which there were countless games that had really good ones, but a lot of them you had to see, you know, just kind of just showing off the game and just random fights with, you know, maybe some music as well. But one that really stood out to me that I think everybody can think back of is the Tekken 3 opening. Now, Tekken 3 was a very phenomenal game at the point, because Tekken was one that came out right alongside when the PlayStation first was launching. And Tekken 1 and 2 are really great games, but you kind of see that they still hadn't got their footing on what this, you know, fantastic fighting game series was gonna be. And once Tekken 3 came out and they showed the opening cutscene with the crazy EDM techno music that kind of went along with how Tekken is, just blew minds, because Tekken 3 was one of the, you know, it still holds up to this day, even with Tekken 7 out. But Tekken 3 really started with, you know, just kind of solidifying a lot of the characters, introducing a lot of the core characters that we still have now, from like Hero Wong to Jin Kazama and Eddie Guerrero. You have all these different, and Brian Fury, you have all these different characters that were introduced in Tekken 3 that were just so loved, continued to this day. So the composer of the music for Tekken was Nobuyoshi Sano and Kenichi Okabe. Now, Sano was the main composer for all the Tekken music and all the series, so you could see that he kind of kept this same style of music through basically all the other ones, with a lot of techno and just very, I guess, kind of edgy stuff with the whole fighting game aspect and demons and crazy rivalries with families and stuff like that. So I liked just his style, and I like that he continued to work with this kind of style throughout the other, you know, Tekken series, since I think Tekken 3 really, you know, started off with the way it sounds. And Okabe, he went on to do some other video game series, but you can still tell that he had like an imprint on it. And some of his more notable work that's more recent is Nier Automata, and that has a great soundtrack as well. So this guy obviously knew what he was doing, and at this time collaborating with Sano, you could see that they, you know, really wanted to put out some bangers with, you know, the whole soundtrack. But the beginning sequence is just showing this whole new style of Tekken, and they really fit it with the music as well too. And again, when you see the, you know, if you, this is obviously not good podcasting right here, but when you see the actual intro for Tekken 3, this is when they got over, the graphics were just shot up by, you know, leaps and bounds, and everyone actually kind of looked more realistic to, you know, now they obviously look, you know, almost human, but you have the iconic Yoshimitsu skin. He looks different in each game, but Tekken 3 is kind of one of his main staples. And just showing like the ruggedness of what Tekken is going to later become, with Heihachi looking more established, Jin obviously being introduced as well, like I said, but they all had their just look kind of solidified in Tekken 3, I think. And then as how much the story has changed and how the characters have changed, they still all, you can tell they came from Tekken 3 instead of the other ones. So this is why I picked this one. I think it's a very important one to talk about, and Tekken 3 is a great game, so this is why I picked it. Still sticking with the 90s era of video games, and again, another PlayStation classic. We are moving from fighting games now to another genre that usually would have always be known for its music and kind of anime opening type views with their games as well. So it is 1999. Squaresoft has created a long-awaited sequel? Prequel? Who knows, but it starts with the word Chrono, but ends with Cross. That is right. This is Chrono Cross, the Squaresoft RPG game for the PlayStation 1. Now, this is the somewhat, I never played this game. I played Chrono Trigger, definitely one of my favorite games of all time, but never got around playing Chrono Cross, just because when it came out, I know a lot of people were really hyped for it, but it kind of had a lot of mixed reviews, with some strong Chrono Trigger fans not really liking it, maybe say it was too confusing, and some people said it was, you know, just its own thing and a really good game. But I still never have gotten around to it, but the one thing I did get around to is the music to it. Now, Scars of Time is the one I'm going to be picking for this pick of the music for Chrono Cross. Now, the main composer of this is Yoshiro Mitsuda, who obviously did the music for Chrono Trigger as well as Xenogears and the Xeno Saga series and Shadow Hearts. And this guy obviously is a musical genius. If you've never heard of the Chrono Trigger series, even for a Super Nintendo game, that had some of the best and most classic video game music you could ever think of, even to this day. And he did not quit once he came back to doing Chrono Cross. No matter what you think of the game, if you still like that kind of instrumental, very fantasy RPG type music, Chrono Cross definitely is in that high standards of music by this composer. And, you know, being on the PlayStation, it could have a lot better sounding quality music. And this was where he wanted to try and shine with all the stuff that he's been working on throughout all his experience with games too. He even worked so hard on this since there, I guess, was so much crunch and just he wanted it to be the best thing he's ever made. He suffered from stomach ulcers is actually something that a lot of people know about this story of him composing such a great score for Chrono Cross. And Scars of Time is my favorite. It is, you know, the one you hear the most, but even for this quick song, it never fails to really catch me with just the kind of Irish Celtic sound to it and all the like wind instruments and the flutes and just the strings. It just, man, it makes you want to just go out and go on some type of adventure as well too. And even not knowing the story of Chrono Cross, just the little opening it does have along with the music fits with the whole game just from what I know. You understand, you see some of the characters, just some random stuff going on, some dragons, there's water everywhere. It really sells the game without having any words at all, just having this badass, beautiful soundtrack, or track I should say, and it just fits the whole theme. Like, if you thought this song would be in any other game, of course it would be in Chrono Trigger, but this is for the, you know, the next game along in this universe of the Chrono universe, let's just say. But Scars of Time is a beautiful song, and it is definitely worth listening to, and is something that I know a lot of people would put on their list as one of the greatest songs, along with, you know, Final Fantasy songs and stuff like that as well. But this one is an iconic, beautiful song, and I highly recommend listening to it. Now we move ahead a little bit from the 90s into the 2000s. Now, the 2000s brought upon the PlayStation 2, and with PlayStation 2 brought in better graphics, obviously more for music so it can, you know, be sounding that much better, and plenty of other games that we were all just looking forward to. And in 2002, a little game came out that we saw two franchises that we never thought clashed together, and that is Square and Disney. And obviously saying those two, you know what I'm talking about. This is Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts came out in 2002, and not only was the game well received, and now it's been continuing into this whole other thing that a lot of people like to make fun of. At the time, Kingdom Hearts was a mega popular game. I fell in love with it, and I still think it's great to this day, you know, no matter if you're talking about the other ones and the story and whatnot, but it definitely hit me at the right point in time with the PlayStation 2 era and the age that I was at. And another thing about it as well that I think stands out with it is the music as well. Not only did it have some great soundtracks with a lot of orchestral stuff, but Simple and Clean by J-pop, popular J-pop singer Hikaru Utada. She is actually somebody I knew before as well from just other J-pop things that I've heard, and I thought it was really cool that they actually have gotten somebody with, you know, well-known recognition and decided to write and perform the theme songs to this. And she has two versions, which is really cool. She has Hakari, which is the Japanese version of kind of the same song, and Simple and Clean, which she sings both in Japanese and English. And Simple and Clean just encapsulates this whole game. So if you're ever thinking of Kingdom Hearts, even to the, any of the other games, which she does sing a theme song for each of the other games from 1, 2, and 3, and some of the other ones, I'm not sure she does every single one from the many other side games that they have, but I know she does the main themes for the other main parts of the series. But Simple and Clean is the one that if anybody, even if someone did not like Kingdom Hearts, they knew this. They could probably hum it or say at least a few of the lines as well too. And it's just a beautiful song of J-pop awesomeness with, you know, a lot of cool techno beats and her beautiful singing voice, which again, if you're like, oh, I don't like Japanese, there is a excellent English version that, you know, it doesn't even sound like it's the same person. Like, they, you sure did they hire another singer to do this song? That can't be the same woman. And it is, because she's that talented. So I love this song. It always holds, you know, a lot and holds up for me a lot. And it's just one that went on to do a lot of other things for the series, and even its instrumental parts of it as well. It's really cool when a video game can have like a strong theme song that even like I mentioned in Chrono Cross, that song just it can't be in any other game. Same with this as well. It just fits, and it can only be in this title. It just, you know, they just made it, you know, with the composers and just like everything that they had with the game. It was just so produced well that, you know, you'll never forget where this song came from. If you ever hear this, you're gonna think about Mickey Mouse, Sora, the Heartless, and all that stuff. So I just love the song, and again, Utada's a great singer. I could hear sing, you know, any of her other hits as well, but this is definitely one of my favorite ones that she did, and I'm glad she kept going with it as well too. So this is Simple and Clean by Utada Hikaru. Now, next on my list, we're sticking with the PlayStation 2. Again, PlayStation 2 had many phenomenal games come out with a lot of different just eye-popping, ear-catching just games, I would say. Well, that's all that they would have. So keeping that going, I'm going to pick one of my favorites from a series that I love very deeply, and that is the Metal Gear Solid series. Now, Metal Gear Solid is always have been known for its soundtracks and its main theme and all the music that it has with it as well, even to up to this date with the most recent one as well. But what they always have done and have had in their soundtracks is a lot of experimental stuff too. It fits with different foreign type musics or just kind of throwing curveballs in if it's either funny, serious, or fitting the genre of the game in itself. And in 2004, Kojima came out with Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. If you ever played this game, you know what I'm talking about. Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater had the main theme of Snake Eater, sung by Cynthia Harrell, but was composed and wrote by Hiroko Hibino. And this was a very fun and, you know, interesting song to pick from as well, because if you play Metal Gear Solid 3, Metal Gear Solid 3 is in the 70s during the Civil War, where, not any spoilers, but this game's been out for a while, you don't know why it's gone back in time until you play the game and figure out a little bit more of the story from Sons of Liberty. So when you hear this and you see the song, it has this kind of era to it where it's an older, timey song. It's kind of got like a, the way a lot of it people describe it is it has like a James Bond feel to it. If you ever seen any James Bond's movies, they have these long intros and it's this like spy epic, you know, obviously usually a female singer does it as well. And Cynthia Harrell does a great job at, you know, singing this song. And it's very funny. It holds in everything that MGS3 is because it's ridiculous. And they talk about eating frogs, you know, going through the jungle. And she just has this just mega voice and just singing it with all, like, super intense purposes. And she just is so serious about it. You kind of go along with the ride for even how ridiculous it is, just seeing Snake running around doing all this crazy stuff in the jungle that you end up having to do in the game as well. And it was so well received as well that they played it out multiple times through the game. It was actually featured in Konami's Karaoke Revolution Volume 3 for the PS2. So that'd be a funny kind of thing to see with your friends if you ever played that game. I never played that, but if it's just a karaoke DDR simulator, to try to bellow this out as well as Cynthia Harrell could do would be one for the books for sure. So, and this song would be one of the staples for a lot of the other things you would see Snake in when he crossed over into Smash Brothers Brawl, into Smash Brothers Ultimate. You still had this song with, you know, they actually had obviously the Metal Gear Solid theme and some other things as well, but this one in particular was still brought over to kind of, you know, everybody would know once they heard this that, oh yeah, I'm gonna Gear Solid, you know, if it's for the level and whatnot. And a lot of Easter eggs in it, let me just say. It's just funny how they kept this for the third one, you know, and really threw, they haven't really thrown out like a big one like this since then. So I think it's cool, and it's definitely one to be recognized as well. And another thing I didn't know, that I guess Cynthia Harrell has been performing for other games as well, and she is noticed, some of her notable work is for Symphony of the Night, Castlevania, with the song I Am the Wind, which I had not heard. But if that was in Castlevania, Castlevania has a sick soundtrack as well, so it's probably pretty awesome. But I just had no idea she was in that as well. So this is my pick for another great game from a great series, Metal Gear Solid 3, Snake Eater, sung by Cynthia Harrell. As we continue with the PS2, I thought of a game that I almost overlooked as I was doing this list, and I thought this would be one to put into this first installment of the Ultimate Nerd Podcast Jukebox, because this game also has a very well-renowned soundtrack, as most of these do as well. But the thing that's different about this is this with a more spooky game. So we are going to be talking about Silent Hill 3. Now, Silent Hill 3 had a composer, Akira Yamamoka, and he is a phenomenal composer who has done all the Silent Hill original soundtracks, and his style of how he has composed this music has just been really, really interesting, from his eerie and very just ambient sounds that he makes with, you know, guitar or however else he made it for the series, really puts the theme of Silent Hill to the test. And he does a really good job at composing with other composers as well and singers, kind of along with like Snake Eater and stuff, like finding some great talent to sing these songs that he has made. And with Silent Hill 2, with a lot of songs from that being very iconic for people that, you know, like video game music and know it, no one will ever forget You're Not Here. You're Not Here was the theme song for Silent Hill 3, performed by Mary Elizabeth McGillen, and just a classic. I love this song so much. It has this like kind of alternative rock feel to it, but it definitely has this like very its own kind of sound, and it's very slow, and you know, it kind of makes you feel a little sad in some places, but you know, it fits with the whole creepiness and just like atmosphere of what Silent Hill is when you're trying to get into this game and understand what, you know, your protagonist is going through at, you know, this whole survival horror thing with a lot of messed up imagery. And it's just basically, it doesn't really have its own theme movie to it, you know, it's just basically cuts throughout the game and what you're about to see and stuff, but having the song in the background just fits so well. And if you hadn't heard You're Not Here, definitely highly recommend it. It's just even a great song to listen to. I would even say it's one of those that you could listen to, and even if you didn't like the game, if you like that kind of style of music of just like, you know, alternative rock and stuff like that, you would like this song as well too. And Mary Elizabeth McGillen, she has a beautiful voice. I still listen to the song today, and even with his instrumental stuff, Akira Yamamoka, he just really knows how to bring out the creepiness. It's like I would put on some of his music from Silent Hill if I had like a haunted house or something in October, because he just has this way he can make songs sound so cool but yet so messed up in the same way too. But this is a little bit more of a actual theme song, so it's a little less, you know, about just scaring, you know, the crap out of you and stuff. But big fan of it, and again, it's a very popular song. They actually had it in the live-action movies as well. Not saying you really have to care about the live-action movies, they are what they are, but you could just see that they knew carrying the song into those would try to get the people that played the games along with the name, you know, to be like, oh, we still are, you know, showing this from the other classic, you know, Silent Hill games from like Silent Hill 2 and Silent Hill 3. This song's in it as well. So I thought that was cool to bring up as well, too. So Silent Hill 3 has an amazing soundtrack along with Silent Hill 2. But again, we are talking about You're Not Here from the Silent Hill series, the third Silent Hill series. And yeah, it's just a great song. And again, I highly recommend it. And for my final pick of the Ultimate Nerd Podcast Jukebox pick of this episode, I decided to move it up a little bit into the PS3 / PS4 era. So technically, this game came out in 2016 for the PS3, developed by Atlus. And yes, obviously once I drop that A, Atlus, you know that the game I'm talking about is the Persona 5. I don't know why I said the Persona 5. Persona 5 is an amazing game along with the other Persona series, and since this is something we're talking about with music, Persona 5 has one of the greatest soundtracks to this day with anime kind of influences, and if you're just a big fan of the Persona series, they always have some great openings with, you know, a killer song with it as well. Now the song we're talking about is Wake Up, Get Up, Get Out There. This song was composed by Shoji Meguro and performed by Lin Inaizumi. Now, Shoji Meguro has done all the other Persona music before then, so he obviously knows what these games are about. So when he ever picks a game, they always sound a little different, though, with the Persona series, like Persona 3 and Persona 4. All their openings are within, you know, what that game is as well. So whenever you get a new Persona, you're kind of excited to see what they're going to be creating next. And when Persona 5 came out, it did not, obviously, you know, it lived highly up to its expectations. And Wake Up, Get Up, Get Out There is just one of those catchy tunes that, you know, it could be an anime opening for all, you know, for all we know. But since Persona 5 is this, you know, JRPG, you know, pretty much is just a 100 plus hour anime that you're playing anyway. So what's interesting, though, is if you've seen the actual cutscene to it, it shows the Phantom Thieves, who you are in Persona 5, where you're running around the city, you know, with your alter egos going on, trying to change people's hearts for, you know, the bad things that they have done. Now with this, you get most of the main characters in these beautifully cut animated animated scenes of them just running around, skating throughout the city and painting the walls and being the character that they are. And what was interesting that I found out about this is the cutscene for the main theme opening was done by Sano Yamato, who was one of her, you know, well-known works is from Yuri on Ice. Now, I haven't seen the whole series of Yuri on Ice, but obviously within the title, it is about ice skating. And you could just tell that she took just the skills she had from that anime to bring it over into this completely other, different, you know, storyline where, and they obviously never skate through the city, but it makes a lot of sense and it just looks really cool of them just skating around the streets and not in skates either. They're, you know, just in normal clothes, and it just looks really cool and fits so well with the music. So I wanted to bring this up because there's, again, a lot of other stuff that is out there, but Persona 5 might have been one of the last ones that really had a theme song that, you know, had an actual, you know, lyrics to it as well. So Wake Up, Get Up, Get Out There, awesome song. Persona 5 is an amazing game. I can't wait to play for it when it comes back out, well, when it comes out on the Switch. And maybe we'll get some new songs from Lin, because she's an amazing singer, kind of in that same Utada realm where she does a lot of awesome English translated stuff with the beautiful Japanese version of it as well, and kind of mixing both too. So there's a lot of similarities of her and Utada, their kind of styles, but you know, it's still completely different in that sense. So yeah, check out Persona 5. It's an amazing game, and if you hear Wake Up, Get Up, Get Out There, it will never leave your head ever. And that is our episode. I hope you enjoy these little Ultimate Nerd Podcast jukebox picks that I'm going to be doing periodically throughout the podcast, but I think they're fun. It's kind of something I can do in between getting guests, and I hope to have guests on the show as well to kind of be talking back and forth a little bit about it. But this will keep the podcast going, and I think it'll be fun to listen to some fun music and talk about these awesome series that has them as well. So if you have your favorite kind of song that I didn't go over and maybe want to talk about later, please let us know. We are on all social media, on Instagram and Twitter at Ultimate Nerd Podcast. Again, you can check out our Patreon if you like everything that I'm doing here. That's patreon.com/ultimate nerd. And check us out. If you really like us and want to support for just $1, you can do that on our Patreon. If not, just like us on our socials and chat with us, because we like to have a good time and talk about music, video game, anime, music, anything, you know, the ultimate nerd within us all. So thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day. Bye.